Thank the Lord this morning for the blessings of the Lord. Message that I'd like to share with you from the scripture this morning is entitled Deliverance from the Curse. We'd like to begin in Revelation chapter 22. Begin with verse 1, and this was a picture that God had, or that the angel of the Lord had revealed to John of heaven. And he saw a picture of heaven, and he said, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Now this said that in heaven there would be no more curse there. And before we consider the curse, I'd like us to consider that it said out of the, from under the throne, it said there was a pure river of life, and it said it was clear as crystal. Do you know that is it a blessing to know that when we get to heaven, that there's not going to be any contamination there? If you travel to places and say, don't drink the water, don't drink the water because it'll make you sick. Do you realize that in this life there are things that we have to give those warnings about? Don't partake of that, it'll make you sick. Don't go there, you'll get sick. But in heaven, there is pure water. In heaven, the water that is there, it's clean, it's pure. You don't have to worry about eating or drinking something that is going to make you ill or is going to make you sad. But it's going to be a wonderful place that God has provided for us. It said in the midst of the street of it, it said there was the tree of life. And this is symbolic. But the tree of life, remember, we read about a tree of life in the Garden of Eden, don't we? And as long as Adam and Eve ate of that tree of life, they did not have death. There was no physical death. They would live forever. And the symbolism here is that up in heaven, there's going to be a tree of life, and we are going to live forever. And it said there would be no more curse. So what is the curse that there's not going to be in heaven? Because if someone says there will be no more curse, it sounds like it. The intonation is that there is a curse right now. So what is the curse that is on this earth right now? There was a curse or a judgment that was placed on Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden when they sinned against God. And Jesus Christ came to deliver us from the curse or from the judgment that was placed against mankind. Jesus came to this earth that we could be delivered from the very power of sin. And while we continue right now to live under the influence of the curse, there is deliverance from it through Jesus Christ. So I'd like us to turn to Genesis chapter 2, and let's consider the nature of the curse from which the Lord delivered us, and from which we have to look forward to in heaven, where there will be no more curse. Genesis chapter 2 in the 16th verse, it said, the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So that was a judgment that God gave, the penalty of disobedience. God said, thou shalt surely die. So the nature of the curse, the nature of the judgment of God has to do with death. Well, there is a penalty to sin, and there still is today. There was a penalty to Adam and Eve, and there is a penalty today for each and every one that transgresses the commandment of God. So what is the nature of death? And it's important as we begin to consider deliverance from the curse to understand that the penalty of death was twofold. There was spiritual death, and there was physical death. All right, there are two parts of that curse, physical and spiritual death. Spiritual death, when Adam and Eve transgressed and they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we find that their relationship with God was broken. At one time, they communed with God, they walked together in the cool of the Eden, but they were no longer one with God Himself. It was broken. We find that their purity and innocence was no more. And do you realize that in our world today, children are born into what? They're born into sin. We don't have to teach, and people can argue the theology of it, and we can study the scriptures, but I've sat for hours with people that argued and were trying to prove that we are not born into sin. But at the end of the day, I still have to look at the reality of life. And the reality is, I have never had to teach my children how to be bad. I have never had to teach my children how to tell a lie. I had to teach them how to tell the truth. I had to teach them how to be obedient. I had to teach them what was right and what was good and what was truth. And it was only by the power of God that enabled them to stop lying. It was only the power of God that enabled them to begin to be obedient and have a desire to be compliant and to do the things that they knew what they were going to do. But understand the nature of that curse. Number one, it was spiritual death. Innocence was lost. We were no more one with God. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says that all have sinned. Now, the young people heard this in Sunday school this morning. All have sinned and what? Come short of the glory of God. There were none of us. Some say, well, what if I've never sinned? Have you ever yet found a child that you could say they have never done anything wrong? As children, their sin is not imputed to them because they haven't reached an age of knowledge and of accountability. And yet, they're still committing sin. But it's not imputed unto them until they get old enough to understand the ramifications of what they are doing. And at that point, the penalty of the curse is in full effect, and there is death. But a child is still innocent. But even a little baby, when they're hungry, what do they do? Mothers and fathers don't find, they take their little baby and they say, oh, look at the little baby, he's smiling, he must be hungry. No, they learn to express their need for food through what you might term turns into carnality, right? Screaming. And that's the way they're communicating. But they can also communicate by being very pleasant. But what do we learn? When they have a need, they communicate it in a way that later on down the road, we have to teach them, if you have a problem, you don't scream and kick. If you have a problem, this is the right way to deal with that. We have to teach them how to deal with their needs appropriately. Well, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are not, no one has been born living without sin. It's not imputed until older. Isaiah chapter 59 verse 2. I want to back it up with scripture now. Isaiah 59 verse 2 says, but your iniquities have separated between you and God. That was part of the penalty of sin. The curse of death was, spiritual death, is that now you are no more one with God. You will no more have that innocence, but now there is sin in your life, and now your sin has separated you, and you cannot have that close communion. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. It says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That was part of the curse. Now, it said in heaven there would be no more curse. There would be no more death. There would be no more separation from God. So when God told Adam and Eve, in the day that you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt surely die, first aspect was spiritual death. The second aspect of it was physical death. If we read on in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, 19, it says, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. You remember that Adam and Eve, God's intent was that Adam and Eve would physically live forever. It was not his intent that they would physically die. But when he said, if you sin, you're going to die, number one, again, we told the young people today, and they're going to hear it again, we learn by repetition. All right? And if I repeat myself too long, I will stop and pick it up another time. But I am intentionally repeating myself that we can get hold of it this morning. The penalty of sin and the curse that was placed on mankind was death. Number one, spiritual death, and number two, physical death. Because as long as Adam and Eve were in the garden, they could eat of the tree of life, and they would physically never get sick, and they would never die. And that's why it said up in heaven there was a tree of life. Because it was the answer to physical death. There will be no more physical dying up in heaven. The power of death is going to be broken. And yet that physical death that took place, because see, God gave us, he made us with a soul. He made us in his image. And we say, how are we in the image of God? We are in the image of God because he breathed into us and made us a living soul that would never die. So while the soul will never die, the physical body does die. And that was part of the curse of death. The curse that took place in the garden. And so he said, from the dust you were created, and now you're going to return to that dust. Your body is going to die, and it's going to decay, and it's going to turn back into the dust from which I created it. But God had a plan. God did not leave us under that curse. And he had a plan from the beginning, because in Genesis chapter 3, in verse 15, it is the first prophecy of a deliverance that was going to come. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God said, I will put enmity between thee. He was talking to Satan. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now we say, what does that mean? What is the prophecy all about? Was it not by woman that sin first entered into the world? It was Eve that made the first transgression. And yet, after they had disobeyed God, God gave a promise. And he said, it is by the seed of the woman that is going to bruise the head of Satan. Now, if you bruise the head, you know what that means? Well, I know I've illustrated it before, but the victor would go and put his foot on the head of the one that he'd conquered. Two people in a fight, you get one of them down, and the victor would put his foot on their head. If someone says their foot's on your head, isn't it? It means they've got you subdued. It was by the seed of a woman that Satan, the power of Satan, was going to be broken. This was a prophecy of Jesus Christ. Because over in the book of Matthew chapter 1, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. And he said, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall what? He shall save the people from their sins. Isn't that wonderful? What was what Mary brought forth? About 2,000 years ago, what she brought forth, that baby Jesus, was not conceived by man. It was not conceived by Joseph, but she was conceived by the Holy Ghost. It was immaculate, divine conception took place, and yet it was by the seed of a woman. And it was through Mary, a woman, that our deliverance came through the form of Jesus Christ. So we look at what Eve did, and way back then when the curse of death was placed on mankind, God had not forgotten us. He still loved us, and He had a plan. And He was looking forward 4,000 years, and He said, by the seed of a woman is going to bruise the head of Satan. And I am so thankful this morning to report to you that Satan's head has been bruised. Satan has lost his power because of Jesus Christ. Sometimes people have said, well, the devil made me do it. Have you ever heard someone say that? Say, why'd they do that? The devil made me do it. Do you know, under the old law, they had the right, if they really wanted to say the devil made me do it. But now that Jesus has come, the power of the curse has been broken, and He came to deliver us from the power that sin had on us, that now I cannot say the devil made me do it, because I have the opportunity and the choice to yield to the power of Jesus Christ, that I can overcome Satan in my life. There is power for you this morning to say no to the devil. There is power for you to say no to temptation because of Jesus Christ and what He came to do. Sin shall no more have dominion over you. Why? Because Jesus Christ. So He came. The curse was twofold. Remember? Number one was physical death. So how did Jesus, and number two was spiritual death. It was both of those. So I'd like us to consider now how we have deliverance from that curse. Deliverance spiritually. Well, John chapter 5, verse 24. Jesus was speaking, and He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Now, the curse was death. Now, Jesus is saying, if you will believe in me, you will have everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now, the question is, was He speaking spiritually or was He speaking physically? In this account, Jesus was speaking of a spiritual life. He was speaking, as the song said, a resurrection, I confess, has taken place within my breast. Because He went on to say this, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is. He wasn't talking about a future date. He said, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. He was talking about a spiritual resurrection. He was talking about the separation that man had from God, that through Jesus Christ we have been reconciled to God. So the curse of spiritual death and spiritual separation was broken because of Jesus Christ. He is our deliverance from the curse. If you are separated from God this morning, Jesus came to be a bridge between you and God. If you think about Job, in his suffering, he said, oh, that there were a daysman between me and God. If there was only someone that could take my case to the Lord. If there was only someone that could bridge the gap. There is a daysman this morning. There is one that came to bridge the gap and bridge the gap from where we were to where God was. And it was through Jesus Christ, because what separated us from God was sin. God is a holy God. And if there is sin in our life, we are separated from God. But we don't have to stay that way, because there's deliverance from the curse. Jesus came to deliver His people from their sin. Now, that is oftentimes misquoted and it's misused. And people say that Jesus came to save us in our sin. And there is no power and ability to live without sin. And yet God loves us and He forgives us and we continue in our sin. That is not the Bible that I read. That is not the experience that I have found. I found that in Jesus Christ, there was deliverance to set me free from my sin, that I don't have to do it anymore. The scripture talks about those that are liars and adulterers and fornicators and thieves. Yes, and he said, and such were some of you, but you have been washed. You've been forgiven. Yes, I used to be a liar, but you know, when I got saved, I stopped the lying. If you were a thief, if you were a fornicator, if you were an adulterer, if you were a drunkard, yes, you used to be. But thank God, through Jesus Christ, he delivered me from the curse, and I've been reconciled to God. And that hope is for each and every one today. Jesus said, those that will hear my voice, verily he shall pass from death unto life. And so the first part of the curse, spiritual death, was broken through Jesus Christ. We've been reconciled to God. If you turn back in Romans chapter 5, verses 8 to 21, where we read just a little bit of it, where it said, by one man sin entered the world. That was through Adam, see? Sin entered through Adam and Eve. It was by one man that salvation came to the world. We have been saved from the wrath to come through Jesus Christ. The righteousness, it was by the righteousness of one, of the free gift came unto men, justification of life. So, two aspects of the curse: spiritual death, physical death. Through Jesus Christ, there's deliverance from the curse. There's deliverance from sin. We have been reconciled back to God. But what about physical death? Is there anyone here that we say, well, we're not going to die? Do you know anybody that has lived to be, you know, however long said, I live forever? No, physical death is still here. But in his plan, he came to conquer even physical death. John chapter 5. Verse 28 and 29, marvel not, for the hour is coming in the which. Now, before the scripture we read in the book of John, he said the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall live. That was talking spiritually. But the account in John chapter 5, he's talking about physical. He said the hour is coming in the which that all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So he was talking about at the last day when Jesus comes back. At that last trump, there is going to be a resurrection. For those that have done righteously, they shall be given a glorified body and they will live forever. The second part of the curse, physical death, was broken through Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 5:26 says, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Death could not hold Jesus in the grave. He was in the tomb for 3 days and then he was resurrected by the power of God. And so it is for us this morning that when we look at the curse, we have been delivered from both of those. When this body dies, we do not grieve as people that have no hope. When we have loved ones that have served the Lord and have been saved, when they die, we know of a surety that there's going to come another day, that they're going to be resurrected from the grave, be given a new body, and they're going to live forever because there's going to be no more curse. That's what we have to look forward to. And it all came about because of Jesus Christ. It all came about. This season of time, there are some that are busy with gift giving and they're stressing over what am I going to give, and there are some stressing over what they're going to get. There are some that are occupied with going and doing and this and that, and they're focused on the temporal things of this world. But what we have to rejoice about at this season and last season and the season that's going to come is that we have been delivered from the curse through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came and he came to give us life. In the book of Galatians chapter 3, in the 10th verse, there is a beautiful passage. This is worthy of so much study. But in Galatians chapter 3, we'll begin with verse 10. It said, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live." Now listen to this verse. "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." I'd like to break that down for us just a moment this morning. The law of Moses never brought forth true righteousness. Those that seek, whether from the Mosaic law or a list of rules that we write as a body of people, as a congregation, and we make a list of rules that thou shalt not do this and you don't do this and you better dress this way and you better not go here and you better not take that and you better not listen to that. I want us to know there is no redemption in a list of rules. There is no deliverance from following a list of guidelines. As good as they might be, there is no deliverance from it. The law could not bring about deliverance of the heart of mankind. They were still in sin. And he said, those that are under the law are under the curse, because there was no deliverance from sin. There was no true reconciliation with God in spirit. There was forgiveness through the offering of the blood of bulls and of goats, but there was no continual redemption work that took place. Keeping a list of rules and regulations among us, as some of the church, I said some of the church of God, will not bring deliverance unless it is an experience of faith. He said the just shall live by faith. Faith in what? That sounds like a faith in who, doesn't it, Brother Max? It's the faith in Christ. There are some people this morning that have been raised just like you are, and their faith is in a doctrine. Their faith is in, well, I don't go here, so that makes me a good person. I'm a good saint because I don't go there, or I dress this way, or I don't take that, and so I have a strong spiritual experience. No, you don't. The just shall live by faith. It is not a rule. It is not a regulation. It is an experience that I have been delivered in my heart from the power of sin. And that's the reason maybe I don't go there. That's the reason I don't do that. It's not because I'm keeping a law. It is because I believe in Jesus Christ and in His power and in His redemption. The following a list of rules, if we're not careful, starts to be about my righteousness and your righteousness and our righteousness. We are not justified by our righteousness, because our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. But thank God this morning, when we placed our faith in Jesus Christ, it brings about a quiet assurance that I have been delivered from the curse. I'm no more under the bondage of sin because of what He did for me. And so when people say, why do you do that, or why don't you do that? It's not a list of rules. It is because of an experience of faith in the one in whom I have believed and in the work that He did in my life. That is deliverance from the curse this morning. I am so thankful to be delivered from the curse, a transformation that took place, not because of what I did, but because of what He did. The law of God, as did the Mosaic law, pronounced death. There was a penalty of death on the offender. And if we offend in one point, we're guilty of all, are we not? We can have all of this goodness, and yet if we offend, the penalty was death. And yet, through Jesus Christ, He came to deliver us, that we could go and sin no more and have spiritual life and be reconciled to God. And so then He said in verse 13, and we'll be done shortly, He said, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law." The penalty of death If you do this, thou shalt die. But thanks be to God, which delivered us from the curse. And it said then, for it is for the law being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Sometimes that's misunderstood. Christ, or the scripture explains it. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. When someone was crucified, they were not supposed to be on the cross all night long, especially at Passover, going into Passover. So they were considered accursed. So the body had to be taken down off of the cross. And here Paul was saying he was a curse for us. He hung on a cross. He hung on a cross. Why? For us. He was a curse for us, that we would no longer be under the curse and the judgment of death that was upon the face of the earth. And when people say, well, that means Jesus was a sinner. You know, people say Jesus took on my sin and your sin. We need to be really careful there. He forgave us of our sin. But do you realize that God did not turn his head from Jesus when he was on the cross because of all the sin on him? If he would have physically taken my sin and become a sinner on the cross for me, there would have been no power in his sacrifice. The power of the sacrifice and the atonement was that he was innocent. It was that he was a lamb that was slain. But why was he slain? For our sin. He was slain because of our sin, and he took the penalty. He took the penalty and died in our place that we could be forgiven of the penalty and released of the penalty of the curse of death on mankind. I'm so thankful that the Lord looked down and he loved us. And so in closing, John chapter 11, 25, I know probably many of you could recite it if I get you going on it. John 11, 25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Because it is in Christ that we have been delivered from the curse of spiritual death and physical death. And I am so thankful that I am free this morning. I am free because of Jesus Christ. Amen.